A God Who Questions. The Epilogue. The Questions We Ask. We can hide ourselves in our own questions. Let me explain. In the Garden of Eden, after the Lord God had created man and woman in communion, the first question in all of Scripture comes not from one of them, but from the serpent. The serpent asks, "Did God really say, 'You shall not eat of any tree of the garden?'" It takes no more than a moment of reflection to see that this is not an honest question. It is instead what we would call a loaded question. It is a question preloaded with an agenda. The serpent is not looking for verification or for information. He is not looking to grow in understanding, nor is his question even neutral. The question is charged with negativity, which almost completely overturns the positive quality of the initial commandment that the Lord God gave to his creatures. The serpent's question smuggles in a pronunciation. The question itself is an overwhelming suggestion. With this question, the serpent presents the Lord God as a rival and the garden as an arena for jealousy. The serpent sets the terms. We like to set terms. That is a great temptation, the very temptation that was hidden in the serpent's question. Like the man and the woman in the garden, we are tempted to say to God, "Not thy will, but my will be done." Only rarely does one of us come right out and say those words, openly admitting that we really like the kind of control. Instead, we hide that disposition and desire within our actions, within our unannounced thoughts, and yes, even within our questions. As the medieval mystic Meister Eckhart so aptly put it, "When I seek God with something in mind, the best I get is the something I had in mind." Think about some of the episodes we have reflected on together in these pages. Jesus asked the rich young man, "Why do you call me good?" Because the rich young man came to Jesus having already set the terms. He has already decided that Jesus is the good teacher because Jesus can give him the information he needs. The rich young man wants to maximize his investment and get the best reward for what he puts in. So he asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus refuses to give him the shrewd financial advice he seeks. Instead, Jesus drills down to the man's motive, telling him the one thing that will cure him of the sickness he does not even know he has. Jesus tells him to give himself precisely to those who cannot pay him back, the poor. Jesus asked the Pharisees in the presence of a man who is suffering, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?" They are watching Jesus, ready to judge him, because they have already settled into absolute certainty about what is and what is not justified. They stand ready to accuse Jesus on their own terms. Jesus asked those two travelers on their way to Emmaus, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They are trying to process a lot. There is a lot to talk about. They cannot even believe that this stranger does not already know. "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem that does not know what has taken place here in those days?" In other words, all these events are data yet to be fully interpreted. But it is certain that the man who was killed was not the Messiah they had hoped for.